Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Ira Melman. The Pope leaves Greece with additional passengers on his airplane. Pope Francis gave Europe a lesson Saturday in welcoming refugees by bringing at least 12 Syrian Muslims to Italy aboard his charter plane after an emotional visit to the Greek island of Lesbos, which has faced the brunt of Europe's migration crisis. Refugees on the overwhelmed island fell to their knees, wept at his presence. The Vatican said Francis wanted to make a gesture of welcome at the end of his five-hour visit to Lesbos, where he implored Europe to respond to the migrant crisis on its shores, saying, in a way that is worthy of our common humanity. The Greek island, just a few miles from the Turkish coast, has seen hundreds of thousands of desperate people land on its beaches and rocks over the past year, fleeing war and poverty and home only to be housed in a detention center there. One of the volunteers working with migrants on the island, identified only as Chloe, said the Pope's message was heard loud and clear.
One of the messages that really struck me was, don't lose faith. And you are not alone. And I think for people inside Moria at the moment, for children and their families who have fled, you know, violence and conflict, they've given up everything, they've sold all of their worldly possessions, they've risked their lives coming across the ocean to Greece to seek safety in Europe. And they are losing hope, because to be told they might be sent back to Turkey, it's just too much for some people. And to be locked inside Moria Detention Centre in these awful conditions, it's so easy for people to lose hope.
The Vatican said the three Syrian families, including six children who were taken back with the Pope, will be supported by the Holy See and cared for by Italy's Catholic community. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Rescuers are battling harsh weather conditions in a race to rescue as many as 100 people still trapped or buried under collapsed buildings after Japan suffered its second powerful earthquake in as many days. Tens of thousands of policemen, medics, firemen, and self-defense force troops are involved in the rescue and recovery effort, which is hampered by heavy winds and rain. Japanese media reported the death toll from the two quakes has reached 41, with nearly 2,000 others injured. The Japan Meteorological Agency placed the magnitude of Saturday's quake at 7.0, with an aftershock following at 5.4. The Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has expressed concern about Saturday's rain and heavy winds, which are hampering rescue efforts on the island of Kyushu, where much of the damage was concentrated. Abe has planned to visit Kumamoto to survey the damage, but has decided to avoid the area while aftershocks rattled the area. Number of buildings collapsed after Saturday's jolts, including a university dormitory in which two students died. VOA Steve Herman is in Japan.
The Aso Shrine, which is a national historic landmark, has suffered some damage, and also Kumamoto Castle, which is the landmark of Kumamoto, Japan. A part of the wall has collapsed there, and we have bridges that have also collapsed, landslides. It is a huge mess.
An active volcano in the area also erupted for the first time in a month, although Japanese authorities say the eruption was not linked to the quake. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter is in Abu Dhabi, the capital of the United Arab Emirates, on a Middle East tour focused on the fight against Islamic State. Carter toured El Dafra Air Base Saturday. The U.S.-led coalition has used the base for launching airstrikes against Islamic State militants, as well as for conducting intelligence, reconnaissance, and surveillance missions. The Middle East leg of Carter's trip also includes talks with Gulf Cooperation Council defense leaders in the Saudi Arabian capital of Riyadh. Pakistan's military announced Saturday it has taken control of an ongoing police-led security operation to evict gangsters from their island hideout in that country's most populous province of Punjab. Lieutenant General Asim Bajwa said whatever resources required will be employed to accomplish this mission. The move came as police and paramilitary forces have been struggling for days to dislodge the so-called Chutu gang, believed to be deeply entrenched in the 10-kilometer-long island in the center of the Indus River. The operation near the district of Rajanpur has so far left six policemen dead and several others wounded. I'm Ira Melman in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington.
We have total unified operations against Boko Haram, which led to the total meeting and breaking the will.
The Nigerian military says it will not be deterred in the fight to rescue kidnapped civilians from Boko Haram.
L'équipe nationale de campagne de l'Alliance réitère son attachement au respect de la légalité républicaine.
He says they are committed to respecting republican values and democratic principles.
Chadian opposition parties warn they will not accept a rigged election as citizens await the results of the presidential poll.
Zambians don't read the Economist Intelligence Unita report for a simple reason that they repeat what Zambians already know.
And the Zambian ruling party rejects a report predicting main opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema will win the August 11 presidential poll. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The Nigerian military is continuing with the fight to combat terrorism and will not be deterred to rescue all civilians, including the kidnapped Chibok school girls abducted by Islamist militant group Boko Haram. Brigadier General Rabi Abubakar, the Director of Defense Information, said the Army has not given up effort to find the missing girls. He told me the military is focused on ensuring the country maintains its territorial integrity by defeating the radical Islamist group.
Operations on course. We have total unified operations against Boko Haram, which led to the total, decimating and breaking the will, to wage any reasonable attack against the armed forces and other security agencies locations. And these are indications that they are weak, and they can only do that to show that just like a drunk man who is willing to catch anything to survive. That's how best I would describe it. So the issue of Bido or no Bido is not our concern, so to speak. What we are doing is that will not affect our operations, and that will not affect in any way our military and other agencies' efforts towards liberating whoever I was the terrorist, either Chibok girls or non-Chibok girls. Remember, we have a lot of them, a lot of persons and individuals who are the terrorists in captivity.
Are you therefore saying that the army sees this as just propaganda by these terrorist group or Boko Haram?
You see what we are saying, we don't care about all these things. We are not dragging, they should not drag us into media war. You understand what concerns ourselves is how are we going to quell and finish the remnants of the Boko Haram. And that's all. And the issue of rescue, We are designing operational activities in such a way that targets this kind of thing. And it's not everything that we are planning that could be brought to the domain of public doors. So there are certain information that are exclusively for us. But however, we keep on feeding Nigerians and international community of all our efforts.
Now, Colonel Abubakar, you are aware that there's this Bring Back Our Girls movement that have attracted international attention. Critics of the army have been saying that the army has not particularly been effective in rooting out or destroying the machinations of the terrorist group, and as such, they are unsure if the army is up to the task to rescue these girls. What do you say to such criticisms?
You see, there have been a series of criticisms against us. Such criticisms emanated from the fact that we are making tremendous successes without those who are criticizing us being involved. Those who are not happy with the success we are getting is the same people who are coming out to blackmail us and say all sorts of things. But in reality, an average Nigerian and a French Nigerian know that we are really forging ahead and we are closing up with these people, and that's why they can't have the power now to have freedom of movement, freedom of actions, and not abuse. So these are some of the indicators that they are completely wiped out, and also so many of them have surrendered to the armed forces and other security agencies. We have over 800 Boko Haram members who surrendered willingly, and these are some of the things which the remnants are not happy with. And they are doing all sorts of things to tell the international community and domestic audiences that they are still alive, whereas they are not. In any way, they are not, because there is no treaty that they are holding now, apart from the Zambia Accord. Even that one, we have entered into it, and I believe it's just a matter of moments that we will do away with it.
What do you say about media reports that the army appears to have opened a back channel to negotiate with the leadership of the Boko Haram terrorists? What do you make of such reports in Nigeria?
This is all the blackmails which some organizations or groups are bending to say against the members of the military, Nigerian military, and its allies. All these things are not true, and are those dreams of those who are saying it. The Nigerian armed forces are extremely strong enough to crush not only the Boko Haram, as we are very much aware. We have done it elsewhere, and we will do it in this country. And I believe we have all the capacity to do that. All these things are insinuations which have no, in any way, hold waters. You know, and some people are doing it. And those who are being sponsored and doing this kind of thing, they are the same group who benefited in the previous arrangement. So whatever they say, one can easily understand why they are saying what they are saying. But the reality on the ground is not in any way true. And we cannot. Our duty will remain exclusively to crush any known and perceived aggressors against this country. And we keep on doing that. And we eliminate whoever is posing that threat to us, whether internally or externally.
Brigadier General Rabi Abubakar is the Director of Defense Information. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja. Official results have yet to be released from Chad's April 10 presidential election, but opposition candidates say their vote count indicates the country is headed to a runoff and they will not accept any other results. It is the latest sign of tension as long-term President Idris Deby seeks a fifth term in office. For VOA, Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from the Chadian capital in N'Djamena.
Mahamat Amat Alabo, president of the Opposition Party for Liberty and Development, PLD, and spokesperson of opposition presidential candidates, says the political opposition is poised for a runoff after results sheets from their representatives in all polling stations indicated no candidate had won an absolute majority in the first round of polling Sunday.
Nous fondons sur les procès-verbaux transmis par nos délégués. Il apparaît que
he says they are surprised that although no candidate won the first round of the presidential election, incumbent President Idris Deby is already asking them to accept results being prepared by the country's electoral commission to declare him as winner for the sake of peace. He says they will never accept such an abuse of democracy and are therefore calling for the second round of the polls to be organized according to Chad's constitution. Mahamat did not give details of the account. Chad's Electoral Commission has 2 weeks from the day of the election to proclaim results. Mahamat Zenbada, Deby's campaign manager, says all candidates should be ready to respect the verdict of the ballot.
L'équipe nationale de campagne de l'Alliance. He reiterates his attachment to the respect of the legality republican.
He says they are committed to respecting republican values and democratic principles, and that he is inviting other candidates and their political parties to maintain the peace and serenity that has characterized the election so far. John Kunda Traore, former president of Mali and head of the African Union Observer Mission, acknowledged irregularities marred the election, but said it was peaceful and fair. Deby and his ruling party, the Patriotic Salvation Movement, came to power after ousting President Hissène Habré in a 1990 coup. Debbie, an ex-army commander, has since then resoundingly won the first round in presidential elections, except the first multi-party election in 1996. Debbie changed the constitution in 2004, eliminating his two-term limit on presidential tenure. 13 candidates, including Debbie, competed in this year's election. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, N'Djamena.
The Zambian Ruling Patriotic Front Party, or PF, has dismissed a political report by the Economic Intelligence Unit. The report predicts that main opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema of the United Party for National Development, or UPND, will win the August 11 presidential election. Frank Bwalya, deputy spokesman for the PF party, told me Zambians are solidly behind the government after rejecting the electoral prediction as not a true reflection of issues on the ground.
First and foremost, I must say that Zambians don't read the Economist Intelligencer Unit reports for a simple reason that they repeat what Zambians already know through their own local economists and other social commentators. So that unit never comes up with anything new. They may sound interesting to read by people who are outside the borders of Zambia and those who are not following media outlets, including VOA and others.
I know the PF has always dismissed suggestions that former prominent member and Vice President Guy Scott's decision to endorse Hakainde Hichilema, the Economic Intelligence Unit, is saying that that could give a significant boost to the opposition leader to pose a significant threat, if not to defeat President Lungu. What is your response to that?
Zambians no longer look at white people as more superior to black Zambians. They don't look at them as such. So many people who are saying Mr. Hakainde Hichilema is going to win because a white man in the name of Guy Scott has endorsed him are thinking from that perspective. Dr. Guy Scott has never been a politician who is self-made. His popularity in the country was as a result of sitting at the feet of one of the most intelligent, shrewd and accomplished politician in our country, in the name of late Michael Chirufya-Sata, may his soul rest in peace. Now that he has betrayed the vision, the legacy of his friend, Zambians have no respect for this man.
There have been recent announcements of defections from the ruling PF party or governing party to the UPND party. Any concerns that that could weaken the PF ahead of the August 11 general election?
The UPND have become experts in misleading the international community. The country misleads Zambians because Zambians know what is happening. When you ask them to give a list of PF members that have defected to their party, they may come up with a list of 50, 100, 200, but the truth of the matter, in terms of what is on the ground, those are not the numbers. Of course, you can talk about former Lusaka province minister, Mr. Mwari Teta, who does not have a grade 12 school certificate and blames PF for introducing a law that would bar those without a grade 12 full certificate to stand as members of parliament and councillors. Is the one we admit as defected to UPND because he was a bona fide member of PF.
Don't you think that the latest prediction by the Economic Intelligence Unit will give the UPND momentum ahead of the election?
It will not give them momentum because momentum does not come because somebody says you're going to win. In politics, momentum comes because you are gaining more numbers, you are becoming more appealing to the public, the voter. That's how momentum comes. But this time around, they are doing something very dangerous in this country. They have consistently said they are going to beat PF in the first round, by more than 50% plus one, while saying that PF will rig elections. And I challenged them yesterday. I was on Radio Christian Voice. I challenged them. How do you say PF is going to rig elections, but we are going to beat them? Because they want to psych the people that PF will rig the elections and therefore discredit the electoral process so that people can decide to come and reject the outcome of the elections in August. Then there can be chaos. Then they can try to create a situation where President Lungu, who is God-fearing, who loves peace, they think that they can arm twist him to say Mr. Kainde Hichilema should be brought in to form a government of national unity where he would become vice president so that he can have the hope of becoming president in 2021. And you, the international media outlets who are more objective, should follow this story of UPND and many opposition political parties in Zambia constantly accusing the PF of rigging elections.
Frank Bwalya is the deputy spokesman for the Zambian Ruling Patriotic Front, or PF Party. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. In South Sudan, rebel leader Dr. Riek Machar is due to return to the capital Monday to assume the vice presidency of a new transitional government. His arrival will be a key step toward implementing the August 2015 peace deal. For VOA, Jason Patkinton reports from the South Sudanese capital, Juba, that people are hopeful an end to the conflict may be in sight.
No one is more excited for Riek Machar's arrival than those living in a United Nations camp on the edge of Juba. 30,000 ethnic Nuer citizens live here because they fear government troops controlling the city. The government stands accused of massacring Nuer civilians at the start of the civil war. The 2.5-year war began as a political feud but has split South Sudan along ethnic lines. Rebel leader Machar is a Nuer, while President Salva Kiir is Dinka. Sunday William, a secondary student in the UN camp, said she will dance when Machar returns.
For me, I'm very happy for Dr. Machar to come to Juba, for sure. Even as we are suffering a lot here, we wish to go outside.
Yet William and others said they won't go home just yet. Camp leader Thod Maye said there must be accountability for crimes committed during the war. The conflict has killed tens of thousands of people, many of them civilians. Both sides are accused of abuses.
We want the justice to take place first. After that, we will know that the criminal that killed people, all the perpetrators are bringing to the book.
Outside the camp in Juba's Konyo Konyo market, hairdresser Marie Sanyu said she too will dance in the streets to celebrate Machar's return. Sanyu said she hopes peace will improve South Sudan's crumbling economy. During the war, food prices have skyrocketed while the South Sudan pound has fallen against the dollar.
We need him to come because now things are so expensive. I think he will do something good for the price of everything.
Still, Machar's return could spark more violence. There are both government and rebel troops stationed in Juba, and the two sides have traded accusations of disrupting the peace process. Fighting continues in at least one part of the country. Elijah Bull, a master's student, said many of his friends have left Juba.
Some people are saying that if Machar comes, there'll be war in Juba, and many people have evacuated Juba. They have gone.
But Bol said he's staying put. The time of war has gone, he said. Now it is peacetime. Jason Patinkin for VOA News, Juba.
African migrants have opted to cross the central Mediterranean to Italy in efforts to reach Europe this week. According to International Organization for Migration, or IOM, several hundreds were reportedly rescued at sea from voyages leaving Egypt. Over 24,000 migrants have been rescued in the Channel of Sicily this year, while an estimated 352 are missing. For the latest on the plight of these African migrants, my colleague Douglas Impuga reached VOA reporter Antonella Sferreza in Palermo, the capital of the Italian island of Sicily.
In the two last days, over 2,000 migrants have been rescued from many fishing boats found adrift in the Mediterranean Sea. As far as we know, there were at least two casualties, but the truth is that nobody knows how many people drowned in the Mediterranean during the travel. Anyway, all the survivors were taken to Sicily, and as expected, the numbers of migrants crossing the Mediterranean is going up sharply as a result of a good weather condition and of the closing of the Balkan routes. Statistic for the first 3 months of this year show that more than 20,000 migrants have been rescued from smugglers' boats in distress in the waters between Libya and Sicily. Last year, they were 13,000. The analysts actually say that the worst has yet to come.
So, Antonella, who are these people arriving in Italy? Are they all from Africa?
In the past year, the largest group of migrants arriving in Italy were Syrians, while last year this flow has decreased since Syrians preferred the Greek route into Europe. The majority of people arriving in Italy are people fleeing Gambia, Nigeria, Senegal, Mali, Ivory Coast, Guinea, Morocco, Somalia, Eritrea, and Ethiopia. So as I said, with the summer approaching and with the closing of the Balkan routes, Syrians, together with other nationalities, people, will once again have to gain entry through Italy.
Then what happens when the lucky ones, the lucky migrants, arrive in Italy? How are they? What happens to them?
When they arrive, once picked up, the migrants are ferried to the hotspot processing centres. We have six hotspot centres in Italy. Five of these are in Sicily, but only three are operating. And this is the new approach, the new European approach system. So what is an hotspot? The idea is to create areas of disembarkation where migrants are screened, identified, and fingerprinted. Those claiming asylum immediately are channeled into an asylum procedure and hosted in a reception center in Italy, while those who are not considered in need of protection are returned to the countries of origins. And this is the problem, because several human rights associations have been denouncing the hasty method used to separate real asylum seekers from those who are just economic migrants. We have to imagine that one of the main tools used in the Italian hotspot is a questionnaire. It's a very short questionnaire, and many people do not understand why they are completing the questionnaire. For example, in the questionnaire provides a number of tick boxes. We know of many refugees who select work because they want to show the willingness to integrate economically. But for this reason, they are denied the right of asylum. At the end of the day, everybody knows what the main criteria used to distinguish real asylum seekers from the economic migrants is only the country of the origin. Mm-hmm. Those who come from countries considered safe are automatically classified as economic migrants and receive a document notifying their rejection. The problem is that there is not such a thing as an official list of safe countries. Nonetheless, if you are from places such as Eritrea, Nigeria, Sudan, or Gambia, your chances of being rejected are extremely high. And these people find themselves in Italy with no money, with no documents. They don't even know how to go back in their countries. So actually this system has been considered quite discriminatory, and increasing clandestinity, migrants hiding their identity and living in Europe by their wits.
That was VOA reporter Antonella Sferraza. She spoke with my colleague Douglas Impuga from Palermo, Sicily. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And right now it's time for music from our African collection. Enjoy what we have for you today.
Baby, sweet, baby, nice, baby, too little. taxi, Madarobu Yaroni, Otimo Kode Wapa, Oafema Kupa Semi.
I'm not afraid to me. Tell me what do you see? Baba God, they bless me. You suppose like what you see? But my enemies, they me. Tell me why they me. I feel like food, no one job. Tell me why they me follow me. Jealousy, jealousy. Solo my kinde, I will see. I know might make you see. As Baba God, they bless we.
My bank account done, turn the rubber. All the fine girls, turn the wrong come. They know they waste time to shake the bum bum. Ricky Fresco, Ricky Tom Tom. Fatty bum bum, money come come. I don't drop up, no they best for me. I have see, sell them round two. Money they worry me, so I don't worry them.
Baby, let them, they plenty for time. Hey.
Another stars in the field, my demo. Look at them, them I look me him. Now the prince of FBZ. No be rice, no be beans. Make you no mind anything them talk. Make you no mind anything they yeah. No go talk anything they lie. But now you get your life up.
The more you look, the less you see. Don't fall for God as you are looking at me. You they do your face like winchy winchy.
Now you won't follow me, count diamonds.
I don't see me so, I they shine, shine. My baby self, she they shine, shine. Money came for my hand, I go for you. I been left for ground, no go for
everybody come close out. Sadewa, so man, I feel like bow. Cause you wish me well, oh, well, oh. You must follow me, Jock. From Ninja to Yankee. Overland, overseas. Open doors, I they see. Where is the master key? Tisha, all the man them. When I hear me, all the girl them. When I hear me, call Alacha. Where Alachi, left it on rest. Plenty Achi. Plenty money, oh, plenty. Look, looking at me, oh, plenty. The money or plenty, Makatuku, my pockets, no go empty.
Make the fire burn on the enemies.
Make the fire burn on the enemies.
Look good them just to follow me.
Look good them just to follow me.
Because I saw you in Nagala, I chop.
In Nagala, I chop.
Nani Jehovah, bun your mare.
Nani Jehovah, bun your mare.
Everywhere I'm going, people they be scoping. Everywhere I'm sitting, people they be talking. Baby, see what I'm chopping. See the way she's looking. See the way she's dancing.
Karate, yeah, I'm on in a Bugatti, yeah,
I go buy you Ferrari. You don't get any choice but to marry. Hey, I go give you the khaki. Hey, you be calling me daddy. Come on to Tampa. Je m'appelle Wande Ko. Je vais danser avec toi. Faut danser avec moi. Yeah,
I say you like Lukumba. Oh yeah, that sound like a willow Lukumba. I know say you like Lukumba. Oh yeah, that sound like a willow Lukumba. Hey, in love, cause she got me falling in love. Oh, yeah. She got me falling in love, in love. She got me falling in love. On your way so, on your way so. Baby hello, Juicy Banana, CC Echo, Ibini Joba, Idi Etoy. Baby come over, don't you worry yo, Ibi Loboa. She rockin' Versace, Kimu Iti Nicki Minaj. Dancing like she did fight karate. Bugatti, hey, I go buy you Ferrari. You don't get any choice but to marry. Hey, I go give you the khaki. Hey, you be calling me daddy. Khadija, señorita, bonita, mamacita, Aisha, señorita, Aisha, bossita. Karate, eh, hey, I'm holding a Bugatti. Eh, hey, I go buy you Ferrari. You don't get any choice but to marry. Eh, hey, I go give you the khaki. Eh, hey, you be calling me daddy.
Ricardo Nani. It's the jazzy again. Been around the world, I've never seen no one like you. Baby, boo, you turning me on. No more, you try for this, your body.
Try for this, your body.
Yeah, baby, why your body for me?
Yeah, why your body for
me? Love you, what you do, baby girl, I wanna please you. The only thing waiting for my man. Now it can clean you up for body.
Clean you up for body.
Where they make me want to spend my money.
I know you wait to spend my money.
Oh, yeah, baby, make you rock and
roll. Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See money make you drop a mo.
See money make you drop a mo.
Oh yeah, baby, make you rock a mo.
Oh yeah, baby, make you rock a mo.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See money make you drop a mo.
Fantastic,
I can fight for you like Jackie Chan. You know you look my motto. If you shake it for me, you can have it. Oh, Jehovah, see your back be like Bugatti. I got it, Kudi. Come fight you with a lot.
When you follow your body, when you hear the bedu for party. When you call your daddy, call your mommy, make everybody feel too jolly. You got to study. If you feeling the beat, make you ready. Yeah, the baby, give the baby, show the baby, say you study.
Around the world, I've never seen no one like you. Baby, boo, you turning me on. No more, you try for this your body.
Try for this your body.
Yeah, baby, why your body for me?
Yeah, why your body for
me? Love you, what you do, baby girl. I wanna please you. The only thing waiting for my man. Now it can clean you up for body.
Clean you up for body.
Where they make me want to spend my money.
I know you wait to spend my money.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See money make you drop a mo.
See money make you drop a mo.
What's up, madam? Let me blow you away like Saddam, madam. You be posh, madam. I no mind to the waste all my cash, madam, madam. Take my Swiss account. Now your name, they my will, madam, madam. You the boss, madam. Assalamu alaikum, salam.
When you follow your body, when you hear the bedroom for party. When you call your daddy, call your mommy, make everybody feel too jolly. You got to study. If you feeling the beat, make you ready. Yeah, the baby, give the baby, show the baby, say you sabi. Oh, yeah, baby, make you rock a mo.
Oh yeah, baby, make you rock a mo.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
Oh yeah, auntie, make you shake a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See bed do make you roll a mo.
See money make you drop a mo.
See money
understand the formula? Do you understand the formula?
Adobe.
Do you understand the formula? The formula, formula.
Adobe.
Do you understand the formula? Do you understand the formula?
Adobe.
Do you understand the formula? The formula.
Adobe. Formula.
That was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sally, reporter Douglas Mbuga, producer Odette Frazier, and engineer for today, Xiaogang Chang. We say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, other people's wisdom prevents the king from being called a fool. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
8 months ago, the leaders of South Sudan's two main warring parties, President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar, signed a peace agreement to end the conflict that for 20 months had devastated the young nation. Since then, progress on implementing the agreement has been far too slow, marked by delays and obstruction from both sides. South Sudan's conflict is nearly half as old as the country itself, having erupted in December 2013 during a power struggle between President Kiir and Machar, his former vice president. Fighting reopened ethnic fault lines between Kiir's Dinka and Machar's newer ethnic groups. Unknown thousands of people have been killed, and more than 2.2 million driven from their homes, with many fleeing to neighboring states. The United States condemned recent actions by both sides in the Wau area. The actions by government troops were in clear violation of the permanent ceasefire provisions, which apply nationwide and were agreed to by all signatories of the peace agreement. Additionally, credible reports that the opposition and associated armed actors recently attacked government forces and civilians in the same area also represent a violation of the ceasefire. The United States condemns all such actions. Moreover, the United States has urged all parties to resolve disputes through dialogue. Disputes related to ceasefire implementation and cantonment should be referred to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and other relevant mechanisms outlined in the Agreement on the Resolution of the Conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. There is no military solution to the conflict in South Sudan. All parties must fulfill their commitments to implement the provisions of the peace agreement in full. This is the only way to heal the country, repair its ailing economy, and give the people of South Sudan the peace and stability they deserve.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.